G'day punters, welcome to the AFL Lions season 2015. You've got Chitty and Sting. We're going to have a look in depth at the season ahead. Sting, what are we up to, mate?
Alrighty, well, for those of you who are familiar with our punters guides of 2013 and 2014, we're going to run a pretty similar format to that, albeit slightly turbocharged in nature. We'll do three podcasts, six teams per podcast. Preview each side, talk a bit about strengths, weaknesses, where they've gone since last year, and most importantly of all, find you some recommended bets, both for the season as a whole and some trends that you might want to look at on a week-to-week basis.
We might even jam in a couple of little player exotics as well. I think I might have found a couple where there's a bit of value, mate. Kick it off.
Little something for the battlers. We're always about that. So we're going to go in reverse order of how they finished last year. So we kick things off with the Saints. Four wins last year, finished in the cellar. This year, they're $1.90 to do it again. There's $17 to make the eight, and there's not really much else in the futures market to get excited about.
Yeah, not a great deal at all to get excited about for St Kilda fans, mate, from my read. They've got some good draft picks. Paddy McCartan looks like a real player, and Hugh Goddard as well. Both massive talents, but first-year players can't be expected to carry the team. Reece Stanley, big loss for them. He showed some improvement in 2014 and gave Nick Riewoldt a real chop out. Him gone, the pressure's just on Riewoldt now. They've got no logical option to really help him out. I think it's going to be a really, really long year for the Saints as they wait on their list to progress.
Yeah, absolutely. Not much else to add to that. I mean, we've got them with four wins and fighting out the cellar yet again this year. In terms of week-to-week trends, not much that's really jumped out in the last season or two, either in terms of at the spread or totals. And the $1.90 to lock money up for 6 months isn't terribly enticing. You could just take them on 1 week for the same price.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keep the money in the pocket. We'll get to bets later on. We move now to Melbourne. Also four wins last year, but a better percentage kept them off the bottom. They're $3.50 to finish with the least wins this year, also $17 to make the eight. Any more light at the end of their tunnel than we found for the Saints?
Well, I think Melbourne will improve this year. I think they'll probably get to that six to seven to eight win tier. Seven wins being a good season, eight wins I think will be a really good season for them. Jeffy Garlett's a really big in for them, adds some potency to an improving forward structure. Their talls are competitive, but they're not out and out match winners. So they do, but as I say, they do compete in the air. So having someone with a bit of nip, new lease of life, we know what Jeff Garlett can do. He struggled under Malthouse, but they're roaming around in that big 50 at the MCG. I think he could kick 40, 50 goals from this year and be a really, really good find. Lumumba off the back half. Well, I personally think the guy's a bit of a spud, but he does have a bit of experience to him. And he does take the game when he runs and carries. Yeah. And it'll give the younger players a bit more of a licence. Really looking forward to seeing Christian Petrarca come on. Obviously, we won't see him this year. He's done an ACL, but big future for that boy. And just a shout-out to the local fella, Ainsley boy, Aaron Vandenberg, gets a run with Melbourne. So hopefully he can get a few games under the belt. But look, I think they'll improve, but they certainly won't be challenging for the eight, and I think that St Kilda are going to win the spoon. So there's no real value in any of those markets.
The doomsday scenario, what if they don't win more than four? Where, or maybe even only five, where does that leave the Paul Roos era at Melbourne?
Well, I mean, the transition from Roos to Goodwin's already well underway. Mm. So Roos will be, they'll be co-coaching this year, and next year Roos will be essentially taking a back seat and Goodwin will be doing all the game day stuff. So I think it was more a cultural thing that they were trying to overcome putting Roos in place rather than turning a shit team into a premiership team. I don't think it's quite as simple as that, but to try and actually get some development out of the younger players that they had on their list already, where the likes of Jack Watts and those fellas had been sort of falling by the wayside. So I think there's certainly been signs of that, and the transition in their different game styles from Roos to Goodwin has become a little bit more evident to us, and I think we'll see a little bit more attacking footy from them this year. So I don't see that eventuating.
Well, we've got them on seven wins. That was more just a scare campaign for our three or four Melbourne listeners. And for all the reasons he outlined, that doesn't make for particularly good value either in spoon betting or betting to make the eight. A couple of important trends to think about from last year. The D's went 8-4 when they were underdogs of 5 goals or more last year, but only covered 2 out of 10 when they were actually in the market.
Wow.
So that's something to keep in mind this year, particularly if they do get a little bit more public support. Last year, they were also a wonderful unders team, but the market will have found that. And this year, for the round one, they're low 160s in early markets against the Gold Coast for a day game. I don't think you'd be ploughing into the under just yet on that front. So that's a trend to be taken with some caution, but not a lot to get too excited about for Melbourne other than potentially laying them if the public expectation is that they'll play well. Because yeah, that tends to be the best time to take Melbourne on.
Absolutely. Expectation is not their friend.
Certainly isn't. We move on now to Greater Western Sydney. 6 wins last year in 16th position. This year, $6 to finish last and $8 to make the eight.
It'd be a throw at the stumps, but out of that, the $8 to make the eight's the only one that is even worth considering.
Yep.
I think they've recruited beautifully over the off-season. They've got in Joel Patful, who's an absolute jet, playing to play at centre-half back for them, who will lead that young and growing defence and really stiffen them up through there. And Ryan Griffin is one of the elite players in the competition, going into an already really talented midfield. His hard run and attack on the footy will really complement some of those younger outside players like the Whitfields and those types that can get the ball on the outside. Tommy Boyd's a loss to them, given that Patton's going to miss again with a knee, but it gives the likes of Hoskin Elliott and these types a chance to get in there and compliment Cameron, who's shown a lot of faith in their system and signed a big deal with them going forward, and a few other blokes have followed. So there's a lot to like about the direction the GWS are heading. Still, from a game day perspective, there's not the fans there to come along, but their footy will get them through the door. And it's unlikely that they'll play finals this year, but if Mumford can play 16 to 18 games, then they'll be there when the whips are cracking, I reckon.
But certainly a chance to elevate from that bottom three and into that sort of 11th to 15th range there or thereabouts.
Absolutely.
Something in the 8-9 win sort of range.
Absolutely.
A couple of trends to keep an eye on here in terms of week-to-week propositions. They've been very good lately in twilight and night games. They covered 8 of their 10 in that scenario last year and 11 of 15 across the last 2 years. And they have been a good play to the under when at the MCG or Etihad Stadium. 8-2 under across the last 2 years at those two venues. 4-1 to the under last year.
Beautiful.
So another one, yeah, around that 8-9 win mark. Probably halfway down the bottom 10, but perhaps the side of in this first podcast with the most potential to sneak their way up into 8th spot.
Yep.
We move on now to the Brisbane Lions. 7 wins last year and 15th place. This year, they're $26 to win the spoon, $4.25 to make the 8.
Yeah. Again, not a great deal to like in those season markets. They're not going to win the spoon, and they're very doubtful to make the eight, I would have thought, given that they've lost Patful, who was the linchpin of their defence, and obviously John O'Brien retiring. They're very much in a development phase at the moment. The thing that they've got in their favour is that they've just got an exceptional midfield group to remain competitive. The likes of Rockliffe and now Beams, Christensen, Rich, Zorko, Redden, Mays, Aish Taylor, like the list goes on. They've got a red-hot midfield set up with some good rucking options in Steph Martin and Leuenberger. So they won't be able to stop enough goals to win enough games, and they're not going to be able to kick enough goals to win enough games, but they'll be competitive a lot. So I think probably unders plays with the Lions is not a bad look for looking into the season. And a few, they'll probably get stretched on some Lions, so there might be a capacity to take a few pluses with these guys as well, because they'll be in games. But they probably won't get as many wins as they might like. One market I did find, and a bit of an exotic, they without a real defined goal-kicking option, Alan Christensen will play a fair bit as a small forward, and he could play as a small full forward for those guys. He's done it for Geelong. And if he can average a goal and a half a game, he'd be right in the money. And at $21 to lead their goal-kicking, I think that's definitely worth a throw at the stumps.
Absolutely, it looks like the best value going around for anything to do with the Lions this year. I couldn't enthuse about them for either the spoon or making the eight. I think they're in a similar bucket to GWS, something around that 8-9 win mark.
Yep.
Is going to be about the play. A couple of interesting trends across the last couple of years. They haven't jumped as favourites terribly often, only 9 times across the last 2 seasons. They've only covered 2 of them. Mm. A bit like Melbourne, they don't handle expectation well, but they've gone the over in 8 of 9 of those games. So
okay, there you go.
Lions as favourites, take the plus and the over. That's where you want to be.
Beautiful.
Not much else there, as you said. You know, they're more often than not underdogs, and I think you can play them there, especially as home dogs. But as favourites, they're a dangerous proposition.
Beautiful.
We move on now to the Western Bulldogs. 7 wins last year and 14th position. This year, the market expects them to go backwards. They're $4.50 for the spoon and $13 to make the 8.
It's a no-brainer that they're going to fall off the pace. I mean, Luke Beveridge is an incredibly highly regarded coach, and I think he'll be doing a lot with that team. But at the bottom line is that they've lost so much leadership from the last few years when they've been struggling, and I just can't see how it's going to be a good thing to lose Griffin, who was their captain. Kearney's gone. Gio, you know, has been a bit part player, but he's been a massive leader for them in their club setup and the way they go about it. Tommy Boyd obviously comes in on $1 squillion, but you know, he's 20 years old. How much can you expect from the kid this year, despite his pay packet? That said, I did have a bit of a look at them today on the telly, and they look quite good, and they've got a good core group of players. But Liver's going to miss the season now as well. If a roughhead or one of their key defenders go down, these guys haven't got a prayer. And I think $4.50 is massive value for them for the spoon. They're right in that mix.
Yep, no, I completely agree. I think the Dogs and St Kilda will fight it out, and I'd much rather take $4.50 than $1.90. Bit like with the Lions, I was really surprised in looking at the stats. The Dogs have actually jumped as favourites of 15.5 or more 6 times in the last 2 years, and they haven't covered one of them.
All Leeds, against GWS.
GWS, possibly St Kilda.
Yeah, right.
I think there might be a lesson here. Garbage sides just went, and the rare occasions they jump favourites, take them on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Take the points when bad sides play each other.
Yeah.
Sounds like one of those US documentaries and bad sides attack.
Yeah.
Aside from that, not a lot to get excited about in their trends. But again, yeah, taking bad sides on as favourites seems to be an ongoing theme of this podcast.
That's it.
Speaking of taking on bad sides, Carlton. 7 wins and a draw last year for 13th position. This year, $21 to finish with the spoon, $4 to make the 8, or $1.25 to miss it.
You're not going to tie up money for $1.25.
But you certainly
that's
aren't.
That's the only option. Carlton can't play finals this year. I don't care what anybody says. Letting Jared Waite go, I'm not actually sure that was the right choice for them. He was, you know, Casbolt's a good type, but he can't kick. Henderson, they need Henderson to play at centre-half back, but he's going to play a lot at centre-half forward. Matthew Cruiser is the biggest myth in the game at the moment. He has done absolutely nothing for mine to warrant any of the hype around him or any of the dollars he's being paid at the moment. I understand the kid's had a few injuries, but when he's been on the field in the last couple of years, he has done absolutely nothing. Liam Jones, you know, he shows some signs, but I just don't see where they're going to kick a score. They've lost Betts, they've lost Garlett and Waite. They're three leading goal kickers from the last 5 years. And they haven't really...
Big Levi.
They haven't brought anybody in. That's the problem with Carlton. They've let all these players go, but they've got absolutely nothing back. You know, they've got some draft picks and some future players, but there's nothing in their system, I see, that encourages me to think that these guys are going to produce anything this year. They'll be that 6 to 8 win range for mine. I wouldn't be surprised if 6 wins topped them out this year, to be honest.
Yeah, I was tempted to predict a bit of a slide. I mean, the one thing that we need to bear in mind from last year is Carlton had a really poor record in close games, only winning 2 out of 9 games decided by 2 goals or less. So arguably they were a closer to a 10-win side last year, but I agree that they will go backwards from that number.
I'm happy to have that argument with you anytime. The Carlton were not a 10-win side last year. You lose those close games because you're a shit football team. That's the reason you lose more of those close games than you win, because you don't have the cattle to close them out.
We will have to remember that when we come to Geelong. We're the other side of this coin. I'm sick of taking Geelong on.
Yeah.
Couple of trends to note in terms of week-to-week propositions. The Blues, after being horrible at Eddie had for 5, 6, 7 years, last couple of years under Malthouse covered 13 out of 18. Last year they covered 8 out of 9. They've also been very good as underdogs in Victoria across both Eddie had and the MCG, covering 13 out of their last 20. And as home dogs, 14 out of the last 20 have gone over. So when Carlton are underdogs in Victoria, you want the plus and the over.
Just digging a little bit deeper on that Etihad Stadium one, have we broken that down into what teams have actually played? Because they play their bigger matches against better opposition generally at the MCG. So is the weaker teams?
They're home state underdogs, so you're still talking, you're not talking really awful sides, but possibly your middle of the roads, your North Melbournes, obviously your blockbuster games, Collingwood, Richmond, Essendon, always there. I think they played Hawthorn a couple of times at Etihad in the last couple of years.
Got smacked as well.
They did. They were the couple that ended up in the 7 column. Alrighty, so that brings us to the end of our first podcast. Not much to get excited about yet, other than the Dogs at $4.50 for the spoon and maybe a little throw at the stumps on Alan Christensen to top the Brisbane goal scoring.
Thanks for joining us, guys. It's going to heat up a little bit more as we dive into the better sides and the better predicted sides leading into next year. So hopefully you'll join us next time. We'll be back with you soon.
Good luck and good punning.